Welcome to the Joy Factory, where we explore the art of happiness at work. I'm Susan DeFazio, your host and founder of Be Future Ready Today, where we develop toolkits that simplify our world of work and empower the how for happier and healthier outcomes so that people and businesses can truly thrive. Our podcast guests come from all walks of life, and today we're delighted to welcome Debbie Webster. So welcome, Debbie. I've known Debbie for many years and I've benefited from her sage advice many times. Debbie is currently volunteering best practice partner at Cats Protection, which as a cat lover myself, it really is very significant for me. I'm a huge fan of what the organisation does and stands for. But a little bit about Debbie and her background. So prior to Cats Protection, Deb shared her expertise in volunteering best practice with the Peat District National Trust and the British Red Cross. Deb strives to promote and improve equity, access, and inclusion into the sector, which is really terrific because on this episode, The Joy of Lifting Others, we'll explore the transformational power of volunteering and stories that relate to being a volunteer, supporting volunteers, with some personal reflections from Debbie about her work and some of the unexpected outcomes. But first, Deb, I'd like to start our conversation off by asking you, on a personal level, what does joy mean to you?
Well, Sue, thank you for that lovely introduction. And you've given me a lot of good advice over the years. So we're a good pair. Bonded by mutual love of all things furry.
Yes, that's right.
So, I gave this a lot of thought, and I thought this was going to be a straightforward question, but it really wasn't. And so for me, I've decided that joy is a celebration, but it's a really funny sort of celebration because it's a celebration that can make you sing, it can make you reflective, and it can make you cry.
Yeah.
And thinking about this in relation to my late sister, Mary, who you knew well, that can bring on all three. You know,
yeah.
So in that moment and in a work context, it reminded me that recently I did a piece of work with a colleague around organizing an event that was really quite challenging and very emotionally charged. And we pulled it off. And I remember just being there watching this event unfold and us turning to each other in the moment and just hugging so tight and shedding a tear, you know, and there was so much joy in that moment. And I guess, you know, it was a good question and I'm really glad you asked it.
Well, it is. And I think that, you know, joy can sometimes be in some ways fleeting because you tend to think of it as being elation, but it can be really simple stuff. And, you know, I'm kind of really curious to understand, you know, from a volunteering perspective, how you came into volunteering and sort of how you found sort of joy and happiness through that. You know, so it's your personal experience I'd like us to really kick off with.
Yeah. Do you know, I have volunteered for as long as I can remember.
And really?
The listeners will be able to hear from my dulcet tones that I originated in America. And like a lot of young people, my first experience of volunteering was actually with the church that I was a member of. And then that was my first introduction. I then moved on when I was in junior high school to help with the students who had learning difficulties. And these were the bad old days of segregation where, you know, if you had a learning difficulty, you were in another building and quite separate, you know, students. And I don't know what got me started doing that, but I just wanted to, and I really, really enjoyed that. In San Francisco, I was with the Humane Society, and we took, you'll love this, so we took animals into old folks' home.
Ah.
Yeah, but they were passionate that we shouldn't take puppies or kittens or anything. Because they didn't want those animals to be out and then maybe miss out on an adoption opportunity.
Okay, I see.
So we took in animals from the education room, which included a white rat called Peter, who was very popular, a tortoise, and a cockatiel. So there you go.
Oh, wow. I did not know that. That's news to me. And so I think I sort of first heard about your volunteering experience when you started with cancer research. That's how far back my memory goes.
Yeah. So, that was a really important time in my life. So just to give everyone a bit of background, from a very young age, the sort of foundations, the ground that I stood on began to crumble when loads of people in my family got cancer. So out of four girls, three out of four girls, my mother, my aunt, my dad. And it was sort of a combination of really bad luck, but also the BRCA gene, which I'm sure lots of people are aware of, but it leads to a higher incidence of ovarian and breast cancer. I had genetic testing and learned I didn't have the gene. Did I feel joy in that moment? I probably did for the sake of my daughter, because it meant I couldn't have passed it on to my children. But that was actually accompanied by a big side helping of guilt and sort of survivor syndrome, I think. Yeah, so I really was desperate to do something. And, you know, when you're experiencing people in your life having cancer, the sense of just an impotence, you know, not being able to do anything is keen. And so actually then trying to raise some money, which I did via volunteering in the charity shop, was really important. And I think, you know, I was on the hairy edge of depression and anxiety. And so having that purpose, I went every Saturday, having that purpose was very, very important. And the friendship and fellowship I got from people who understood what I was going from and who were equally passionate about the cause was just beyond beneficial.
So. Yeah, I can imagine, because, you know, what you're describing is just so destabilizing, you know, highly emotional, destabilizing. And you kind of feel, what I grab onto, how do I get a sense of control? You use the word control, and I think that's really important. But giving something back, and was that really, you know, in terms of giving something back, would you say that helped you deal with those, I would imagine, seesaw of emotions, that because you didn't, you know, the family situation didn't disappear overnight. It was still there. You were still dealing with it. So how did it sort of help you cope, Debbie?
Yeah. So I think it was just like, when you volunteer in a shop or when you volunteer anywhere, Sue, it's a very participative thing. So it's not like you go in, you do whatever you're doing, and you leave. And whatever you're doing, you will be truly helping that cause. You'll be aware of the difference you're making. So in the case of if you volunteer in a shop like I did, you'll know how much money that shop raised, the organization kept me up to date with what scientific progress was being made. I knew what cancer research was about. So I felt very involved and part of that organization. Mm-hmm. You know, for our volunteers, and I also volunteered, you know, with the National Trust when I was there.
Yeah.
You will go and do your thing, but you'll also know we, together across the area, we planted X many trees or we repaired this much fencing. So even if you're doing something that's not exactly related to
yes.
the core of the work being carried out by that organization is, you feel connected and that you've contributed to it. So even if you didn't stick a shovel in the ground to plant a tree, you did support that outcome.
So sort of some of the nice byproducts of that, if I can describe it as that, it really helps you feel not that just you're giving something meaningful back to the cause that you're passionate about, but also to the community and, I guess, meeting people, learning new skills. That's what I heard you saying, really. It feels like, in some ways, you were, when you did that at cancer research, you were sort of striving to keep yourself afloat. But actually, what you were doing was giving yourself so many other gifts, really.
Yeah, and I honestly felt and feel that I was helping find a cure for cancer.
Yeah,
and I think, you know, when you volunteer and you bring that passion, that is when the magic happens, you know?
Yeah. And tell me then, so, you know, any other sort of anecdotal stories that you could tell us about you being an actual volunteer that you think, if somebody was listening to this and they were thinking, they've never volunteered before, but they're thinking about doing it, any advice that you would give them? Just do it, or, you know, is there anything, you know?
I believe this with everything in life, where you work, where you volunteer, what you want to study, what you want to learn, you know, it needs to be something you're passionate about.
Yeah.
You know, what's going to make you want to get out of bed and go volunteer, go to work, whatever it is. I think that's really important.
Yeah.
And also a really open mind to volunteering. So, for instance, in any organization, say Cats Protection, which is where I'm at the moment, mm-hmm. you know, I love cats. And then I've gone and helped out at a few places now, one of our adoption centers, for instance. And although I think before I joined the organization, I had this vision that, you know, all of our volunteers were cuddling cats. It's so much more than that. So
yeah.
Think about your skills that you bring. Have an open mind about how you use them. So it could be that you use them for social media. You could help you know, at one of the charity shops. You could fundraise. You know, there's so many different ways to do that. And it was the same way at the Trust.
You're making me think of when you say, you know, sort of connect it to something that you're really passionate about. You know, for me, when I was a young child, one of my keenest and loveliest memories was sort of every Saturday having afternoon tea with my grandmother and my mother and my aunts and, you know, neighbours and so on. And, you know, listening to them sharing and telling stories, probably gossiping, really. But it was really lovely. And I always look back at that because I felt it helped me understand things about, you know, the art of conversation, the art of being supportive, the art of laughter, all those kind of things. So when I was thinking about doing something for volunteering, I naturally went to, well, could I do something for older people around an afternoon tea? And that's what I did for a while, you know, inviting, connected with a charity, invited a group of individuals, male and female, and they came round for an afternoon tea. But it also connected me to something that I really love, which is baking. So, but I remember feeling just incredibly nervous, I have to say, about doing it. But once you get into the stride and the connections that you make, it really is. It was very, very uplifting and sort of took me to a happy place. So I know what you mean by that. You've got to really connect to a passion, don't you?
Yeah. But, you know, it's really important too. And I think you've expressed that. I always say when you volunteer, you should give and you should receive, right?
Yeah. So yeah.
Giving your time, you're giving your skills, you're giving your talent, and you should get something in return for that as well. And that can be a good feeling. It could be improving your skills. And today, this is one thing that definitely brings me joy, Sue, is when I get a reference request for someone who's volunteered for us and they're volunteering. They've actually put that on their CV. They've put us down as a reference and because they have successfully gotten a job. And this is particularly important for people who maybe, in this case, it was for someone who had been disabled or is disabled, I should say.
Yeah.
And so, gosh, you know, life is really unfair sometimes. And sometimes if you have a disability, you're just as able as the next person, but it's just that little bit harder to find a job. And as the mother of and your goddaughter
with
the disability, we know this very well. So this young person is just now on his career path. And gosh, the sense of satisfaction of knowing that we made that little bit of help and just hearing from him again was just amazing. And you know, that's happened a few times and it's amazing. Yeah.
So did this individual sort of apply to be a volunteer, even although they had their own disabilities, they volunteered or they wanted to be a volunteer and then went on to sort of build on that skill. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, Debra? That's exactly what happened.
Okay.
So that they came on to help with our social media and now have a fantastic job working with the public. So that's really exciting. And, you know, I've also supported people into volunteering with really complex learning needs. So recently supported someone who had a support worker, so full time, and worked with their family to have them volunteering in the Peak District. And I really learned to check my own unconscious bias.
Yes.
Because it's so easy to think you know what someone can or can't do. And I love it. I don't know if you love it, Sue. Don't you love it when people prove you're wrong?
Yes, I do, actually, because you learn something from it, don't you?
Yeah, you really do. And I was a little bit nervous, you know, because I thought, wow, this is uncharted territory for me, you know. Oh my gosh, it worked out so well. And that young volunteer went on to go to college, which I think no one really thought was possible, really did so well, is recently got their 5-year badge for volunteering with the trust. And I've got to say, when I left the trust to come to Cats Protection, the whole family came to say goodbye. I felt like the queen. Flowers, card, you know, and it was like, great. And I, you know, I just thought that young person did so much more for me than I did for them, in my personal opinion, because that I grew as a human thanks to them. Yeah.
Well, you know, I think that what you're doing in that situation is you're breaking down your own preconceived ideas about what's possible and what's not possible. Mm-hmm. But you're also helping, you know, not just the individual, but their family, because families want to love, nurture, and see their, you know, their offspring sort of reach their fullest potential. So being able to oil the wheels for them, I mean, it's really just sort of transformational all round. We talked about, you know, the joy of lifting others, and this is exactly it. Everybody has played a part in that. And I can imagine how emotional that must have made you feel, and you know, humble at the same time.
Oh, for sure. And, you know, I'm saying me, but, you know, like with everything volunteering, there were so many people who fed into that. And I think we were all learned and gained so much from the experience. I think it is the gift that keeps on giving. When you can support someone, you know, sometimes it's just a little bit harder for some people to participate in things that we take for granted. Yeah. Work, volunteering, social, whatever it is. And when you take that time, that little bit of extra time that makes it a little bit harder for you or your organization as well, gosh, the benefits, the ripple effect of the benefits just go on forever, really, I think.
I love that that sort of analogy of the ripple effects, because it's absolutely true. You can just make such a tremendous impact. I mean, what things have you learned as supporting volunteers? So I know that your role is about sort of really helping volunteers get on board and be the best that they can be. What kind of things have you learned in that role? I mean, apart from what we've just talked about.
So I think, yeah, so my role now is very sort of consultative. So I guess I'm really working more closely with our staff and volunteers who are supporting other volunteers. Uh-huh. So I guess it is, I think the mutual expectations is one of the things that I always talk about when you're entering that sort of volunteer agreement, you know, what you can expect from the organization and what they can expect from you.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, volunteering, a lot of times people think, oh, well, but volunteers can do it or not do it. And that is true. But most volunteers, you know, very dependable. You can rely on them. And that's really, really important. So actually, volunteering is a pretty serious thing, actually.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
And
I think maybe if there could be a misconception that you can, volunteering is sort of, well, I can show up or I don't show up. But actually, you don't, because you're making a commitment to people who are really depending and probably might even be marginalized in society. So therefore, the help is not just readily available somewhere else. Do you know what I mean?
But the beauty of it is that there's always something for everyone.
Right.
So you need to be true to yourself. And if you don't have a lot of time to give, be upfront. So you go to the organization and say, you know, I'm absolutely passionate about whatever it is you're passionate about. I've got a really hectic life. I've got, you know, kids, or I've got a full-time job. I really want to help. You know, this is the time I'm able to give. Is that of any use to you? So again, that goes straight back to those mutual expectations. Just be really honest with what you're able to give. And if that changes, either because you can give more time or because actually you can give less or you need to take a break. You know, it's just be honest and let people know. That's absolutely fine. So, you know, you don't necessarily need loads of time to volunteer because you can say, this is what I can give. And most organizations will say, thank you very much. We'll take that. And they'll say, well, thank you for your interest and probably signpost you maybe to someplace where it would fit with what you're able to give.
So, I mean, what you're really highlighting here, which is really true, I mean, everybody is time poor. We all seem to be sort of time poor. So therefore, and you can kind of think, well, I'd love to do it, but I'd love to make a difference. I'd love to volunteer, but I simply don't have the time. So what you're saying is, no, just follow what creates meaning for you. Approach somebody, have a conversation, be upfront, be, you know, direct and say, I can give you one day a month or, you know, one day a week or one day every two, whatever it is. But start the dialogue rather than sort of sit back and say, oh, nobody would want me. Be proactive, I think, is what I'm hearing you say.
Yeah. And, you know, for people where, you know, gosh, it's such tough times at the moment. So with lack of jobs, isolation, post-COVID. And I think for people who are maybe at home, feel isolated, volunteering is such a gentle way to get yourself out there again, to give yourself a reason to get up in the morning. And selfishly, you know, if you've had a break from unemployment, if you've been unemployed for a while, I know.
Yes.
Or maybe you've been looking after the children. So I looked after our two kids for quite a while. Mm-hmm. And so I had this gaping Grand Canyon of a hole in my CV. Mm-hmm. And actually, volunteering really helped fill that hole. So I had zero work experience, but I had volunteering experience, and that is very respected and transferable, you know, because the skill experience you get from that is as good as any job.
Well, it's interesting you say that, because clearly before you had the children, you didn't have zero experience. So you had lots of skills, but I think what I'm reading into that, Debbie, is that when you're re-entering the workplace, there can be a real lack of confidence. You feel quite vulnerable. You feel very exposed. But as you're saying, using volunteering to help you sort of get back in the saddle, as it were, can kind of remind you of the things that you're good at, reconnect you and actually grow skills that, okay, that things have, whether it's technology or whatever it is, that might seemingly have moved on in that intervening period, you can use it as a way, almost like a climbing frame, hey, to get back into something that you want to do that is sort of regular employment, perhaps.
I think that's so true. And I can't speak for any men who have been out of the workplace, because I actually don't have any friends who are men who have been their primary carers for their children. But I know quite a few women, even now, younger friends. And no, I think it can be really easy to lose yourself when you move from work to caring for a family, and those little seeds of doubt can get settled in. And just talking to you now, you know, the other great thing about volunteering is that if you're in a job, you know, you have to sort of, I don't know, and sometimes fight your way to the top or work really hard to get up the next rung of the ladder.
But
with volunteering, actually, that is another wonderful thing. So you could start out with your confidence at a pretty low ebb. Oh, this is, if I have time, I'll tell you one more story, Sue.
Okay.
Perfect example. This is way back in the British Red Cross days. And we had a young person come to us who had suffered post-traumatic stress disorder, often associated with the armed forces, but in this case, nothing to do with that. And honestly, this was another one where I had to check my own insecurities at the door. Mm-hmm. And they would come in, volunteer for a few hours, head down, wouldn't even have a cup of coffee, and then go off and did a good job. But it came a time when those 2 hours, you know, once a week wasn't quite enough for in that role for what we needed. Mm-hmm. So I had a conversation with them and just said, could you consider doing a bit more, do you think? Or would you like to maybe try something else? Because I think this role is going to just require a little bit more. And I witnessed one of the bravest things I've ever seen someone do. And they sort of turned away and I said, just think about it, no pressure. And then they just said, I'll do it. And it was like in that moment, they had a bit of a now or never moment.
Okay.
And that same person dropped me a note a while ago and said, it's my 10-year anniversary of coming to volunteer for you all those years ago. And they said, I thought you'd like to know that I actually applied to be the manager of the whole team.
And, wow.
And came in second, so didn't get the job. But can you imagine that journey of coming in with so little confidence and self-belief and very low self-worth to you know, nearly running the place is just phenomenal, isn't it?
Well, it is. I mean, it is phenomenal. And I think that's why volunteering deserves to be highlighted because of there is so much joy in it. I mean, even when you're facing difficult situations or there's difficult themes, you know, these are sometimes not easy times or easy conversations to have. But, you know, hearing your voice and hearing you talk about your journey. So if you think about it, it's okay, you had volunteered from an early age, but actually it was something like cancer that was so destabilizing to you and your family that could, you know, it could tip you over the edge, really. I mean, you know, but actually making that brave step and connecting into volunteering at Cancer Research sort of almost gave you this flotation device to help lift you. And
I think I could have taken to my bed if it hadn't been for them, to be honest.
Really?
Oh, yeah. It was just felt, you know, probably just a very dark period. And then, it was fantastic.
And, you know, I think it's particularly important in the times that we live in today, because there's good in the world. Of course, there's good in the world, but there seems to be so much darkness, and the media is full of darkness in terms of, you know, whether it's war, hunger, energy, the lack of money, all sorts of things. So I think we're only human. All of us can find ourselves in a not a very good place. And actually, you know, even by giving a little bit of time to something that we feel passionate about, can actually have this sort of, it's better than drugs, really. If you know what I mean? It's that sort of, it's medicating yourself in a way where you're helping yourself and others in the community.
Yeah. I don't know the science behind it, but I'm sure volunteering, this will be another podcast for you, it must give you endorphins, mustn't it? You know?
Well, yeah, in one of our other episodes, we talked about the release of, or suppressing cortisol and the release of dopamine and so on. And I think that's it, because you feel, when you feel happiness and you feel that you're helping others and you're connecting to others in a meaningful way, it releases that your own body chemicals that help you, that help make you feel better at the end of the day.
Absolutely.
I mean, I'm thinking about our time, and I've so enjoyed our conversation. You have to come on again, and we'll have to think of another way of talking about this.
I think we should talk about cats for half an hour.
Okay, we can do that. I can do, what about colleagues with fur? We could do that. But, you know, if I recap, what I'm hearing is, and I won't be as eloquent as you, Debbie, but I'm hearing about, you know, really follow your heart, follow your sense of purpose, and connect to something that really is worthwhile for you. No, it doesn't matter how much time you have, offer up what, even the little time that you have. But volunteering allows you to meet new friends, build your social skills, improve your self-esteem and confidence, and learn some valuable skills. So it really is a way of bringing joy and happiness into our life if we just decide to give that little bit back, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely, 100%.
Well, it has been an absolute pleasure talking with you, Deb, and I hope you go on to have a great day, and I look forward to our next chat on one of our next episodes of The Joy Factory.
Well, thank you so much, Sue, and most of all, thank you for making me reflect on joy, and I'd recommend it to everyone.
Well, I would too. It's amazing, isn't it? Okay, thank you, Debbie. For those of you who would like to connect more with Debbie, you can contact her on Twitter or Instagram at Peak District Deb or LinkedIn at Deborah Webster. Please join us on the next episode where I'll be chatting to our next guest and discovering their thoughts about how we connect and create happiness for others and ourselves.